Keith Green writes in his little pamphlet called Christmas Morning, M-O-U-R-I-N-G. He writes, I've heard a lot of talk about the true meaning of Christmas. I've seen Christians go in for all the trappings and trimmings. They spend hours, even days, in department stores trying to figure out what to buy for friends and relatives who already have everything they need. Sitting around the tree and watching nervously while someone opens up the present you got them as they try to look surprised and squeal with delight. Parents teaching their young what they call a harmless fairy tale, the story of Santa and how he's gonna bring you lots of presents, so you better be good. And all the while, a world full of starving, deprived people are silently, invisibly looking in through your living room window, begging for a scrap of food, a rag to keep them from shivering to death, and an answer to their misery, suffering, and oppression. We consider all the money spent by all of us during a season that its meaning came from paganism. Well, Keith didn't write that. I did. From Christmas Morning by Keith Green, who passed away years ago in an airplane accident, and used to write many good tracks, and was a great singer. In fact, he used to be on he was on a What's My Line program, where as a young boy he came out as a child prodigy, and he must have been 13, 14 years old, and just played a great rousing piano melody, and nobody could figure out who he was. But he later came to be a great Christian leader in the Salvation Army, and in fact most of Christianity followed his the spirit of Keith Green. He wrote in the track Christmas Morning, I'll never forget the incredible joy and expectation of the holiday. Our house smelled like a Douglas fir. The tinsel and ornaments sparkled in the colored lights. Friends and relatives came to visit, all with smiles and laughter, and all with presents. The season was full of life, warmth, and giving. They are the very best memories of my childhood. The air outside was cold and crisp. Of course, that had nothing to do with whether or not someone had given them a holiday to keep. It was going to be cold and crisp outside no matter. You know, if the weather turns to dark, heavy drops of snow, then you know it's time to go out and play in the snow if you can get away. Inside, always the smell of something baking. If anyone asked me to describe happiness in one word, it would have been Christmas. I remember taking a drive to an area of town where a whole street prided itself on their displays and lights. The whole neighborhood spent thousands of dollars to light up their front lawns with scenes of snow Santas, reindeer, and mangers. Keith writes, I always used to wonder what the manger had to do with Santa, candy canes, and jingle bells, but it didn't bother me enough to ask. And then when he was about 10 or 11, he noticed the word Xmas. He wondered what the X was for, concluded it meant Chris, as in crisscross. It never entered his mind that it came from the Christ in Christos, where we get the word Christ Mass. Let's look at Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know their own heart? My heart is right sometimes, and most of the time, that's where the problem starts. Even for those of us who, we hope we are seeking Yahweh's truth and being great believers. Take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Jeremiah 17, once again, in verse 29. That we are saved, not by works, but by Yahweh's salvation, through the Messiah, whom we call Yahweh-Hosha. It, those good works, the commandments, statutes, and judgments, do not follow, then maybe the heart has been deceived. Maybe your heart, my heart, maybe our hearts have been deceived. Those statutes and judgments, those feast days, are not a curse, and they are all a blessing. It is a matter of whether the heart of man wants to please Yahweh. We're not talking about the common feast holidays. We're talking about Yahweh's feast days. For example, the seven-day Feast of Tabernacles, which pictures the thousand-year reign of Yahweh Hosha Messiah over the earth after his second coming, Revelation 20, verse 4. This feast reflects the rest symbolized by the weekly Sabbath, Hebrews 4, 1 through 11. It celebrates the great harvest of humanity when all living people will learn Yahweh's ways. Humanity will at last be restored to a right relationship with Yahweh. Isaiah 11, 9 and 10. What about people, going through all the holiday motions there, traveling from one state across another state to a third state to try to get to their ex-wife, their third or fourth wife, or just keeping Christmas to become happy, have yourself a merry Christmas. Let not your days be blue. A day originating in sun worship, immersed in idolatry, and there's no command to keep it. Church doors are usually closed. Doing pagan holidays does not bring persecution. People gather to talk about themselves, about tinsel, holly, lights, the tree, and then they drink and give themselves presents. The holidays inspire us to break the 10th commandment and to covet things. It creates an insatiable appetite for things unattainable. Returning merchandise the day after that holiday. I want something different and better. But don't forget about the caroling, which makes you feel warm inside. Songs by Irving Berlin with gay apparel. Well, over in Israel, your toes would freeze that time of year. The Roman New Year and the dead of the winter. Pope Gregory has set those months long, long thousands of years ago. Days begin in the dead of the night instead of at evening when Yahweh has commanded us to keep a new day. And even the Apostle Paul did not celebrate Yahweh's birthday, even if it was not in December, but it was in September or October. Paul did not celebrate it, and he said in Galatians 4, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you my labor in vain. The verse before that, you observe days and months and times and years, he said to those Gentiles and Greeks. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you my labor in vain. More appropriately, the Messiah was born at the Feast of Trumpets, or around, when he tabernacled with us, at the Feast of Tabernacles. 2,000 years ago he lived on this earth. Let us therefore keep the feast, not decorating a green tree, condemned in Jeremiah 10, not decorating a tree, but our physical and heavenly booths being lifted up to him, Leviticus 23:39 and 40. Take on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Maker 7 days. I've been to many a feast day gathering where they might have had some sort of a Sukkot or booth or imitation Sukkot, but no one ever waved any branches as the command was given to wave goodly trees before Yahweh to praise him with that. We might see a few artificial man-made flags out there on year-round, but not even at the Feast of Tabernacles where even they seen. Let us concentrate on the Messiah at all times. Revelation chapter 2. Yahweh is speaking to the assemblies. And in verse 14, he said, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things offered unto or sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the assemblies. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the messenger of the assembly in Thyatira, he told John or Yochanan to write, here in the Revelation, in chapter 2, verse 18, these things saith the Son of Yahweh, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and love, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce of my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the assembly shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which you have already. Hold fast until I come, and he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the assemblies. And next in that book, we'll be going to chapter 18. Yeah. Now is a good time. We've been focusing on the holidays of the nations. There's many, many different celebrations, too numerous to mention. There's books full of them, pamphlets, books, tapes, CDs, websites, many, many preachers throughout, the pilgrims throughout England. There were many who were against those holidays of the world, of the Babylonian culture, pagan days, but regardless of what kind of material was written, what was preached, it didn't make any difference. You know, whatever truth was said about and against these days, people among us just want to continue to keep those pagan days, those man-made festivals, those non-commanded things that Yahweh said he hates, that are abominations. The smoke in his nostrils, he will vomit us out for being so lethargic and so lukewarm. Revelation 18. Babylon, the great, is fallen, 18 verse 2, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now what kind of a holiday could that be, where the merchants are waxed rich to the abundance of a certain church's delicacies? I can't think of any. Can you? Of course, we know who that is speaking of, and it's not condemning every person in that church. It's condemning the leadership, the administration, and the historical background of those pagan customs. All the nations are drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, spiritual fornication. They committed fornication with her. The merchants are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. You know, let's distinguish the good from the bad here. let us come out and be separate and be selective in what we do and whom we are with, and you know where our ministry goes to, where our funds. So verse 4, I heard another voice saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities, or her law-breaking. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is Yahweh who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, with that Babylonian system, that church, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep, the merchants shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen, it says purple and silk, scarlet and all thine wood and manner of vessels and ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and the company and ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust in their heads, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein we are made rich, all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you separated apostles and prophets, for Yahweh has avenged you on her. And I'll leave there at verse 20, at the end of verse 20. That's Revelation chapter 18. The book of the Revelation, the last book in the scriptures. You can also get that book, Come Out of Her, My People, by C.J. Coster, Coster with a K. You can get that for only $10 or less from comeoutofhermypeople.com or giveshare.org. The Scriptures by the Institute of Scripture Research is another one, isr-messianic.org. The Scriptures. You can buy that. It's the complete Scriptures from Genesis to the Revelation with some of the book titles in Hebrew. For example, the book of Zephaniah has been changed to Zephaniah with a Z. And how many transgressions of the law does it take for you to put Yahweh, our Savior, on the tree? How many sins? One. Just one sin. So are you impaling Messiah afresh by your actions or lack of actions? And then 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter in today's terminology. Though I practice my prayer language, my whole synagogue speaks in Hebrew somewhat, I believe in a two-house theory that is preached every Sabbath. Though I eat kosher foods, koshered by a rabbi, I celebrate Jewish holiday, or Jewish feast days rather. I travel to Jerusalem. I perform professional choreography before a congregation and dancing in the spirit. I surf all the messianic websites and get the software programs, but have not love. I am as become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Love means keeping all of Torah by the power of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit. And the Jewish feast days, Purim, Hanukkah, and feast days are not commanded in Scripture, but and you can study them on some other websites that explain those. They are not commanded feasts, but they can help us to love the Messiah more. But they should not be kept like the world's holidays. Hanukkah is not a time to be gathering possessions and presents and, you know, putting them under a tree in the house or something. Jeremiah 10 tells us not to do that. So to find the dates of Hanukkah, I think we would look at the common calendar. I think maybe that would be the right date to keep them. But we don't consult the common calendars, the calendars of the world, in order to find out Yahweh's feast days. We have to use Yahweh's calendar, as explained elsewhere. Get out of Babylon. Oh, won't you pray with me that all true believers will get out. Let us do no more transgressing of Yahweh's law, even the fudging on the Sabbath, washing dishes, vacuuming the church on the Sabbath, playing games, watching TV, opening software and hardware, observing Sabbath services a few weeks out of the month, not all four or five, not properly keeping the new moons, the beginning of months, Numbers 10:10, Numbers 28:11, where it says, also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the offerings of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your Creator. I am Yahweh, the Eternal. Again, Numbers 28, or Numbers 10:10. So, walk in Yahweh's kingdom and be studying, praying, and assembling on the new moon as well, which somebody said, well, they're not to be kept like the high days. No, it's probably be kept like the non-high days of Passover and Sukkot. Now, terminology in Hebrew, by looking at the so-called Old Testament, looking at the older scriptures, where it says feasts, if we hover the mouse over there and we have a program that immediately gives us the meaning, you hover the cursor over the word feast, and you might come up with a word like Moedim. That means Yahweh's appointed times, set apart convocations. Or Mikra Kodesh, meeting for the called out. Hag, H-A-G, a festival or solemn feast day. Hagag, pilgrimages. Well, like Passover, first fruits, commonly called Pentecost, and Sukkot, or Feast of Tabernacles. You might see the Hebrew word chag, which the equivalent English word is broken out to be feast, or chukah, C-H-U-Q-A-H, is appointed ordinances, everlasting statutes and judgments, chukah. So let's do the proper study and have the understanding of feast day timing. If you've only been a believer for a month, then that Hebrew is a little too deep. We shall praise Yahweh and attend the Passover or Pesach, and first fruits or Shavuot or Haggag or pilgrimage feasts. Hag includes the Feast of Trumpets or Yom Teruah and the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. Those are Hag feasts. Tabernacles or Sukkot is in Hebrew. It's a Haggag or pilgrimage. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. But last great day is another hag, a festival. The moeds include new moons and Sabbath days, Sabbaths, which are Mikra Kodesh, meetings for the called out ones. The Sabbath day are Mikra Kodesh. So praise Yahweh on Passover, the Haggag, praise Him on the Feast of First Fruits, Haggag, and the Feast of Tabernacles, Haggag. Praise Him on the non-high days, which are moeds. They are hags. They are Mikra Kodesh. They are set apart for Yahweh, for Yahweh's special people. They are pilgrimage feasts. Those three feasts throughout the year to qualify that. Passover, First Fruits, and Feast of Tabernacles are pilgrimage feasts, where we don't just travel outside our door, you know, to a little booth outside. Unfortunately, for some of us, I guess it happens that way, but we would travel a greater distance than that. Maybe, you know, more, hopefully more than just to town, to the church down on the corner that we rented from, you know, some Protestants, but it would be some special place where we can really get away and have a whole different environment around us, removed from the world, and have an all different setting that is what in our mind might be similar to the New Jerusalem, to the to that new earth, the new heavens that Yahweh is going to create for us to enjoy for 1,000 years. How about the law of Yahweh? Did Yahweh Messiah blot out the certificate of indebtedness? Was the certificate of indebtedness referred to in Galatians, was that the Ten Commandments? Then did Messiah put away only the Sabbath and the feast days, the decree of clean and unclean? Is it not too much trouble or too Jewish to study His law, His Torah, without any anti-Jewish prejudice? Well, we'll find out these questions as we dig deeper. We have already done that here earlier, and on different places within this website, YahvehYahweh.name. And to show proper understanding of that Colossians 2, we might go to a website, giveshare.org, and surf through there looking for Colossians 2. I do not believe that in Acts that Paul attempted to make Jews believe he was still one of them while meeting on their Sabbath day, but trying to transitionalize things over to a Sunday. Because that would have been Paul's golden opportunity to correct their legalism, quote legalism, and point out that Sunday was the new Sabbath. But he never made any effort in that. All the way to the book of Acts, Acts 13, there's two places there in 13. Acts 16, 17, there's a half a dozen of them at least in the book of Acts. There was no transitional period where man attempted to change Yahweh's commanded feast day. That happened 100 years later, and officially it happened in Constantine's time in the 4th century. It was the year 325 or something. There was no transitional period that Yahweh commanded. And in the New Testament, the believers were to switch over to Sunday. Would Yahweh then switch over to Sunday too to keep the Sabbath and to rest? No, it would have been immediate, and it wasn't. I mean, this is the book of Acts written years after our Savior bled, died, was resurrected, and He left. He came back into our hearts. Our Savior would not appreciate delayed obedience. He would want immediate obedience, and we should have been keeping, if there was a transition or a change, it should have been clear and done right away. But it never was. Hebrews 4, let us therefore keep that rest. Therefore remaineth a rest unto the people of Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 9. Now talking about Paul there, was he all things to all people, trying to be one of them, to try to win them over, while craftily hiding the idea that he was going to get them to break Yahweh's law. 1 Corinthians 9:21, it says, to them that are without law, as without law, but under the law, to Yahweh Hosha, the Messiah. If he were twisting words, we could take that even further. To the Sabbath breakers, I'm a Sabbath breaker. To the thieves and bank robbers, I am also. To male prostitutes, I am one of them. Well, Paul didn't say any of that or infer any of that or try to twist the truth a little bit. try to temporarily deceive the Jews and make them think he was still one of them while being the new Gentile Christian. Paul did not in any way teach that or get into that. He understood the law perfectly. His basis was the Scriptures. He knew the so-called Old Testament. He had studied it. Hebrews 8, which Paul wrote, or we believe Paul wrote, anyway, one of the apostles, chapter 8 and chapter 10 and Jeremiah 31. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with them, with the northern 10 tribes, that's us. After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my Torah in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. Now we can keep them. Did Yahweh say he will do away with Torah? No, he came to magnify the Torah. Isaiah 42:21. Isaiah 8:19-20. And hopefully you'll look in the King James Version, because it's been altered in most of the other modern versions, such as the NIV. King James, Isaiah 8:19-20. Midnight snack. Peter in Acts 10, did he eat an unclean animal? He didn't have a midnight snack. Imagine Peter's prayer. So, Father, dear Yahweh, if you can cleanse these unclean animals, which you cursed and called abominations, and make this pork pure, separated, then please bless this unclean, abominable animal. Paul says to prove all things. When we study, we need to sit down, not just stand out on the parking lot or the porch or somewhere. Standing, we sit down and prove all things and reason together. Sometimes we live in the middle of a question. There is a, you know, there's a final word. There's a dogmatic and final word in reading the Scripture. It's not in the middle of a gray area, but some points are never fully proven. Sometimes there awaits more study and more proof. As great scholars from the past and both sides have argued and studied these doctrines for thousands of years. So there's thousands of voices there speaking conflicting doctrines and thoughts. But the revealed truth of Yahweh is the Scriptures. People worry about, you know, what is Yahweh's will for my life? It's already been revealed. It's in the Word. The revealed truth tells us exactly what to do, unless we have a, you know, a misunderstanding. We haven't studied it right, or we're thrown off by our tradition. The revealed truth of Yahweh is the Scriptures. It is clear, for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. And our prayer is that in our life, may Yahushua, Messiah, be magnified today. Shalom.